I'm Jasper Pattenden at Wickham Wanderers, and you're listening to Wickham Sound.
The Wickham Wanderers Show.
Welcome to this week's edition of the Wickham Wanderers Show, where on Tuesday night at home to Shrewsbury, we had everything but the goals. We'll reflect on that with Phil in a few moments' time with our match briefing. We'll also preview Saturday lunchtime's trip to Reading as well, bringing news of another fixture alteration, slightly, to come between now and the end of the season. We'll speak to a legendary striker who scored over 250 goals. No problems for Mark West. He'll be bringing us his top tips for strikers to to score, especially when there are over 30 shots on target and still none of them going to the back of the net. Also still to come in the next hour, if you're a regular listener to the show, thank you. Or you'll have recalled last week, we didn't get to speak to any Wickham Wanderers women players. To make up for it, we've got two on today. We'll hear from goalkeeper Amber Taylor, who was due to be on last week. And also the league's leading scorer, Kayla Potter, chats to us a bit later on as well. And we'll hear from Mike Dodds as well, the Wickham Wanderers head coach for the men's team, who'll be guiding us through his thoughts post-match from Tuesday night, and also looking ahead to, as I say, the trip to Reading on Saturday, which is a 12:30 kickoff. You'll hear full match commentary, of course, here on Wickham Sound as well as on Wanderers TV. Spoiling you for Wickham Wanderers coverage. But first, our regular chat with Phil. And if you were listening to the commentary with himself and Charlie Goff from Adams Park on Tuesday night, you'll know the word of the match was frustration.
Oh, wow, yeah. Yeah, everything but a goal. Obviously, we all know what goals mean in football. And didn't Wickham score any. And, you know, 33 shots on target, which, yeah, so kind of says everything really, doesn't it? Completely dominant. Throughout the game, created clear-cut chances and should have won it, you know, should have won it comfortably. It was one of those games as well, do you think, that with the frame of mind that Shrewsbury coming into the game, if Wickham got the first goal and ideally got it early, then you could have maybe seen like a really sort of excellent opportunity to boost the goal difference. But you have to give credit to Shrewsbury as well, because the week that they've had, you know, losing Gaz and Dobbo, the sort of the outpouring of anger from their fan base and some of their players, and then as the week's gone on, the information has sort of become more prevalent, and then the statement from the Shrewsbury chairman saying that the investment was off, which then sort of puts into context Gaz leaving to go to Gillingham. Sort of you then begin to understand the workings in the background to those decisions. And then you just look at the away end last night, I think 174 Shrewsbury fans who probably would have got that statement en route to the game. And you think, wow, you know, how must it feel to be them, bottom of the table, 15 points adrift with 8 games to play, you know, no sign of investment coming in. And looking at a League Two where Carlisle got relegated into last season and a sitting bottom of League Two adrift at the bottom, and it looks really miserable. So from a player point of view, I went into the game thinking they're either going to be on the floor and have down tools, or they're going to use this and be sort of us versus the world. And they defended like absolutely resolutely. I think in the first half, I thought they defended the edge of their 18-yard box like their lives depended on it. In the second half, they had to go back deeper. They defended the edge of their 6-yard box like their life depended on it. And not for the first time, Aaron Pierre put in a sort of a monumental performance. I think the two Feenies either side of him were excellent too. Jamal Blackman, you know, when was called upon, made some really good saves. And Wickham were wasteful with more chances on top of that as well. But look, for every bit of credit that Shrewsbury get, Wickham should have won that game. And you mentioned the word frustration. When you put it into context of the other games on the night and you see Wrexham drawing, that's when it becomes frustrating on one hand. But then on the other, it's completely as you were, but with a game less to play. So, you know, we've still got it in our hands. I think it places even more importance now on that game at Huddersfield next Tuesday, which is Wickham's game in hand. But look, it's still a great position to be in. Football is never straightforward. I think we all understand that. And there we are. But yeah, you mentioned the word frustration, and it's the one I brought up immediately when I spoke to Mike Dodds after the full-time whistle.
I have to admit, I think that's probably one of the most frustrating games I've ever been involved in professional football, if I'm being honest. Like, I think it was over 30 shots on goal, and, you know, XG was whatever the XG was. And I think if you look at the game through a logical lens, I think if you play that game another 10 times, there's only going to be one outcome. I'm upset for the players because they deserve a huge amount more. I'm upset for the fans because there's only ever one result that really should come out of that. Yeah, so it's a real frustrating evening. I've never been involved in a game that was that dominant, with that many chances at the opposition goal, and you somehow stand here with 1 point when it should be three.
It can happen in football sometimes, but it got to like when the clock running down, it did have that feeling sometimes. It's like whatever we do here, we might not score.
Yeah, it did feel like that. It did definitely felt like that. But look, you know, we can be frustrated this evening. The reality is we've got some huge games coming up, and we can't dwell on it too much. As I said, my overarching frustration is for the fans and for the players, because that's my biggest frustration, because there's going to be some emotional people that will look at the 0-0 and say it was rubbish or whatever else. But actually, when you actually take the emotion away from it and you actually watch it, like I genuinely cannot believe that we've not taken 3 points. And as I said, we'll watch the game back. I think my feeling will still be the same once the emotion goes. My feeling will still be, how have we not won that game? And there were some really, really good bits of play. And I'm sure they feel like they've got the kind of winning lottery ticket this evening, you know, although they've only come away with a point. So yeah, you know, we've got to review that, move on very, very, very quickly. And we've got some really important games, which if we play like that, we'll have a really successful end to the season.
I guess the positive to pull from it as well is we created a huge amount of chances.
Yeah, I think one of the staff said there that we had over 30 shots on goal. Birmingham played them a few days ago in their last game, had 15 shots on goal and win 4-1. Now you can be critical of that, of course you can, and say, well, their finishing is better than ours and all those types of things. But one thing I will not stand here is criticise the players. I think there's been some games where we've gone into the training ground, I've been a little bit more forceful in terms of my opinions and views, in terms of trying to address how we want to play and, you know, how we're going to be successful. But I'm 99% sure that I'll come into the training ground tomorrow, I'll do my reviews, and I'll be really, really positive with them, because as I said, I think if we play that game another 10 times, you know, 10 times there'll only be one outcome. So there'll be no criticism whatsoever labelled at the players. I think they did everything apart from that final action, which is frustrating.
You spoke on Saturday about enjoying the final games of this season, and at times the fans enjoyed the passages of play that we had, and obviously this, the goal was a missing bit, but there was lots to enjoy in the performance.
Yeah, listen, my remit and the ownership group here obviously want to evolve what we're trying to do, and the difficulty I have is I can't do that in such a short space of time. You know, that will be something that we'll have to look towards the summer. But there's been pockets in, not in all the games, you know, I'm not naive, there's been some games that have been really clunky and a little bit less enjoyable to watch, but there's been pockets of what we're trying to evolve to, which I feel is a real sustainable playing style that will propel us through the leagues and will also develop players along the way. So there was elements of tonight which I really liked in possession. As I said, I'm absolutely gutted for the lads. I'm really, really gutted for them. I'm gutted for the fans, because that's not a 0-0.
Always great to hear from the head coach, of course. And as you'd expect, his kind of positive spin on it was, as you touched on, you know, nothing's really changed and it's still all to play for. And I'm sure it'll be a matter of time before someone mentions there'll be seven cup finals to go.
Yeah, we love a cliche, don't we? You know, we've been talking about the business end for a long time, but now we're into sort of cup final territory. And these are cup finals, aren't they? And they're good cup finals because we're going for a promotion. So I think, you know, going back to what Mike said after the game against Lincoln about sort of trying to change the mindset around the whole club and the fan base and the players, and saying, look, we need to enjoy this situation. We need to enjoy this running. And, you know, last night against Shrewsbury, or Tuesday night against Shrewsbury, I felt that Wickham played some very enjoyable football to watch, you know, in terms of the creating of the chances. And again, you know, I think Mike speaks really well after matches, and, you know, in terms of, you know, not criticising players. Look, fans pay their money and have their say, and they'll have their own opinions, and that's why people come and support football. But look, they can watch that performance and see the shot count, the chances created. And I think Mike is right when he says that he played that game another 10 times and Wickham will win that 9 times out of 10 in those situations. It was just one of those nights. We've seen those at football. Wickham have done rear guard actions like that against other teams down the years as well. So, and I'm sure it'll happen again on both fronts. But It's about keeping your head now, isn't it? It's about which teams do that. And interesting to see Wrexham manager Phil Parkinson this morning bemoaning the lack of a penalty being awarded to Wrexham away at Cambridge. And I know a lot of Wigan fans haven't been lost on the irony of that statement, seeing as how they've been doing so well recently with 1-0 wins and some decisions that others have gone over with a fine-tooth comb. I think it just proves that there's going to be many, many, many twists and turns to come in these last seven games for Wickham. It's one game less for Wrexham. Let's not forget that. And, you know, Charlton winning as well just adds to the intensity of the situation.
No, absolutely. It does make for a really exciting end to the season. And you touched on, obviously, Shrewsbury's off-the-field issues. But we're facing a team on Saturday lunchtime, which I think many supporters may even have doubted whether the fixture would go ahead.
Yeah, it's tough to keep up with, to be brutally honest, about what's really going on there and the implications of what's happening and what it all means. You know, you remove the league table, you remove sort of rivalries and club affiliations aside, and your heart goes out to the fans of Reading, because, you know, Wickham have had their issues down the years and fans would have experienced that. When Wickham nearly went out of business and had money issues and closing of the academy and stuff like that. But, you know, losing your football club, you know, which is a distinct possibility we are led to believe with Reading, is a horrible thing. And you only look at where they are in the table, Colin, and you have to take your hat off to those players, because it's not been easy for them in terms of what they've done and this season and in terms of transfer embargoes, etc. And so, look, you know, we go into the game on Saturday, of course, we want to win it and we want to win it comfortably. But Reading have proven that they are fighting at the right end of the table as well. And I think those players have done their fans proud. And I hope they continue to do so, but after Saturday.
Indeed. And as we speak, obviously, they're just a point outside the top six, which is a real credit to what they're doing on the pitch. And, you know, just looking slightly ahead, as you say, it puts so much more importance on Tuesday night's game at Huddersfield, but with the likes of, you know, Bolton and Charlton still to come as well, some really big games. Cup finals, you might say.
Yeah, these are all, they're not just cup finals for us, which I think really adds to the jeopardy of it. I remember speaking to you into the run-up to Lincoln. Lincoln, sort of, you know, the archetypal mid-table side, you know, they're not going to get relegated, they're not going to get promoted. And I almost fear those teams more, because there's a certain carefree attitude to it. And that can go one of two ways, of course. But we saw a very competitive Lincoln side who tried to stop Wickham playing and nick a goal. They left everything out on the pitch for their manager. But we're now going into a run of fixtures against teams who have got really big things on the line as well. So it adds to the pressure. It's all about now who manages this pressure the best. Mike has talked about this pressure being a privilege and about enjoying the running and being able to express yourself. We certainly saw passages of play last night that suggested that's the case. We now need to get the icing on the cake, don't we, to those nice moves. But look, other teams are going to be feeling the pressure too. And it's about who turns up on the day and is mentally prepared and able to get through that game and not only perform well, but come away with the right result.
And team selections will be really interesting as well. There's been quite a settled side of late, but I think fans will still be, you know, keen to see what players can kind of make a name for themselves as well.
Yeah, you know, it was great to see Alex Lowry getting his first start in the league last night. I thought he really caught the eye as well. And Mike said when he started, you know, he's going to get some pretty nice headaches between now and the end of the season and about who he picks, what systems he has, etc. But yeah, he's got some big choices to make. And, you know, it's a short journey to Reading. It's an early kickoff, be a big crowd as well. So it should be a great occasion. And hopefully whoever does cross the white line wearing the Wickham kit on Saturday delivers.
Well, enjoy the game on Saturday lunchtime.
I certainly will. Thank you, Colin.
A real pleasure chatting to Phil, as always, on the show. And you can hear more from Mike Dodds and other post-match reaction on Wanderers TV, of course. And as Phil mentioned, we're down to the magnificent seven. I don't think the run-in starts till six games to go, does it? So can't talk about that yet. But we now have three, I think, if my counting is correct. Yes, three. 12:30 kick-offs. Reading, of course, on Saturday lunchtime. And then next Tuesday, the 8th of April, a trip to Huddersfield. That's at 7:45. Then another lunchtime fixture on Saturday the 12th of April with a visit to Stevenage, then a trip to Bolton. You'll be pleased to know that's not in the evening. That's on Good Friday, and that's a 3 o'clock kickoff. And then on Easter Monday, the 21st, Wickham are at home to Charlton. Of course, another playoff rival. And then it's just been announced today that Leighton Orient has been chosen for a televised Sky Plus game. So that's now been moved to 12:30 as well. That's the final away game of the season. And then at home on the final day, well, the final day of the regular season, there might be playoffs involved, of course. A bit early to say that. Wickham are at home to Stockport County on Saturday the 3rd of May. That is a 3 o'clock kickoff currently.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire. And on your smart speaker.
Play Wickham Sound.
This is Wickham Sound. Tuesday evenings from 8, Chatsworth. Chat that's worth a listen with comedians.
Sorry, it's my phone. It's Albert calling me. Albert, what are you doing?
What?
You're phoning me by accident.
Am I?
Yes. I'm doing an interview now.
Oh, what should I do?
We'll turn it off. Oh, hang on a second, Colin.
Most couples listening to this will have one super organised, energetic person like me, and they'll be married to someone who can't pick up a sock. It is the fate of the human race.
On the front row, there was a woman in her late 70s, and I just presumed that she would get very uptight if anything was near the mark, and she absolutely loved it. And I thought, of course, she's seen and heard everything. She's, you know, nearly 80.
Yeah, can I speak?
No, I'm doing an interview.
Can I go to the toilet?
You can go to the toilet, yes. That doesn't affect my interview, does it?
Well, I don't know.
And Colin.
If you do fancy a laugh on a Tuesday evening, I'll look forward to speaking to you then. Although due to the modern ways of listening, you can catch up anytime via the Listen Again feature on the website, wickhamsound.org.uk.
Anyway, so I've completely lost my thread, but that's Albert.
The Wickham Wanderers Show, Thursdays from 7.
106.6 FM. Part 2 of this week's Wickham Wanderers Show, still to come, we'll speak to two of Wickham Wanderers women's players as they approach the culmination of their season as well, currently second in their division, trailing Ascot. We'll hear from two players. Heavy Metal gets a mention, and a cat makes an appearance. It's true. We cover very different things on the show, sometimes quite unexpected as well. But first, with thanks to Wickham Wanderers Ex-Players Association, brilliant to chat once again to a legendary former striker who got over 250 goals, some of them at Lokes Park, some of them at Adams Park. In fact, he was the first scorer at what is now, of course, the current ground at the time, a brand new one. Brilliant to catch up with Mark West again, and also to get his thoughts on, over 30 chances on goal?
Yeah, I think... You know, that's a lot of shots to be having in a game and not score a goal. I think it's always difficult. You come to this time of the season and everybody gets a little bit tense. And what you really need is just one of the balls to bounce off somebody and someone to be there 5 yards out, tapping one in and probably committing a few more bodies into the box to probably try and get the goal. But that's a lot of attempts on goal without scoring one.
Because you must have found yourself as well that there are so many kind of factors affecting, you know, whether your opposition's defending so well or whether you're not getting the service as a striker or, you know, just perhaps the luck's just not with you.
Yeah, I think if you play up front on your own and you've got two wide men and someone through the middle and the midfielders don't join in enough, I think sometimes as a forward on your own, you can get stuck like Mr. Kone does. Maybe, you know what I mean? He can't be everywhere in the box himself. And sometimes, as a forward, you've got to be a little bit more selfish and just think, right, anything that goes in that six-yard box, I'm going to be just trying to get a rebound, a knockdown, anything, you know what I mean? And, you know, like I say, at this time of the season, when you have 33 attempts, you've got to be hoping to have scored one.
Did you go through periods yourself where perhaps it didn't go for you as you'd have hoped?
Yeah, I think we've all been through them. You can go three or four games without a goal or whatever, and you start thinking what's going wrong. But in the end, you just keep doing the same things, getting in the right positions, making the runs. It's when you stop making the runs and stop trying to get on the end of things. And then all of a sudden, the goals come. You'll score one, and 5 minutes later, you'll end up with two in a game. And, you know, as a forward, that's how it goes.
It seems so strange, doesn't it? Because you can be in such a rich vein of form as well and score so many in such a period.
Yeah, I think it is difficult, though. But I think you need service. So you need your two wide men, you need your midfielders. As I'm talking as a forward, if you're a forward up there, you need you know, you've got to get the service, people getting balls into the box, people arriving from midfield to help you out, a bit of creativity in there. And, you know, it will come. I think obviously, like I say, we didn't lose last night. Disappointing not to have got the 3 points, but and make us a little bit closer, especially with Wrexham only picking a point up as well. It just keeps it dangling, doesn't it?
No, exactly. And you can understand sort of the fans' frustrations, but tension as well. And do you have fond memories of kind of this time in the season as well, where just a month to go and so much to play for?
Yeah, obviously, when we won the conference, it was a bit like this. We went away to a few places and the nerves start jangling, you know, and then all of a sudden you get a couple of wins and all of a sudden you get clear again. But yeah, coming towards the end, it just people just get nervy. And I think, you know, if you string a couple of wins together, Reading away on Saturday is a nice one to go to after a couple of, you know, tough results. And hopefully we can pick up 3 points there and just settle ourselves down.
And we're looking at the fixtures. Obviously, there's teams like Charlton and Bolton still to come as well, who are in and around us in the table. And again, that obviously is something that you've had experience of as well.
Yeah, I think sometimes it's nicer to play the teams that are up there with you, because there's a little bit more pressure on the other teams, especially when you're above them. They've got to come and get something off of you when you go there. They commit a few more bodies and open themselves up a little bit. And sometimes when the opposition actually open themselves up, it's easier to create opportunities, like clear-cut opportunities. So hopefully what will happen when we play the better sides, like even Reading, they're just outside the playoffs, and the Charltons and the Boltons, they'll have a little go at it and commit themselves a little bit, and we'll be able to get them either on the break or just open them up a little bit.
Do you find it's just sort of the nature of football, really, that you do have kind of periods where things are going really well? You know, it's around Christmas time, there's that brilliant unbeaten run, and then sort of the goals seem to have dried up a little?
Yeah, I think, but you look in every league at this time of the season, the teams that are up the top, they just get, like I say, they get a little bit nervous and they start worrying about things instead of playing the normal game. And like I say, we've all been there, and it is difficult to just keep it going. But you need a couple of the lads in there to take control of it and just help everybody else around you. And that's what you need, a few leaders, settle the boys down. And like I say, then it goes okay.
And we touched on, obviously, being a striker and getting great service, and that was something that you benefited from as well.
Yeah, I was lucky. I played up front with... In the day, it was slightly different as well, because we'd play two up front, two wide lads, or two midfielders, but we'd play wide. And, you know, so you always had someone to feed off, whereas when Coney's playing up there on his own, sometimes the nearest player to him could be 20, 30 yards away from him. And that's difficult when you're on your own. You're surrounded by two or three players, defenders. So the service he needs people to get closer to him. And I know it's difficult in the game nowadays, because people are a lot more cautious to what they used to be. And, you know, a lot of teams now are set up, let's not let one in and we'll try and nick one. But sometimes if you let one in, then all of a sudden it's difficult to get two. So, you know, sometimes you've got to be brave, haven't you? And have a, you know, commit a couple of more midfielders to go and have a go. The two wide lads have got to get involved with him a little bit more and help him out and try and get him some better service.
And I guess as well, especially at this time of the season, it feels so important to make home advantage count. You know, we've just had back-to-back home games as well.
Yes. Pick up any other time of the season, 4 points you'll be happy with. But when you're obviously trying to get promoted, you know, and obviously you play the bottom of the league, you're thinking you're going to pick up 3 points. So it's a difficult, disappointing result. But by the end of the season, in the next seven games, that point might be really important. So, you know, there's a bit of swings and roundabouts. But hopefully, like I say, we can go to Reading and pick up the 3 points.
No, absolutely. Speaking of Adams Park, it'd be brilliant to get your memories on yourself being the answer to a quiz question, if the quiz question is, who scored the first goal at Adams Park?
Yeah, no, luckily enough to score the opening goal there against Nottingham Forest. That's a long time ago now. So yeah, I had a lovely time at Adams Park, scored a lot of goals there, played in some good teams with some really good players. And obviously we were just the beginning of what's happened now. And now obviously the club's moved on, and which is really lovely to see it progressing. And hopefully we can, like I say, get promoted this year. To get back in the Championship would be an absolute great achievement, so let's hope it works.
No, absolutely. And what was that transition period like from moving from Lokes Park to Adams Park in terms of, you know, playing on the pitches?
Yeah, it was a bit different when you're on a slope of about 30 yards from side to side, and then you move to Adams Park and it's flat as a pancake, a lovely stadium. You're getting 2,500-4,000 people there every week, because that's what sort of took it off. Once we moved to Adams Park, the crowds turned up. To be fair, we were lucky we won the trophy, FA Trophy as well, and I think that all of a sudden the support came. And, you know, we could do with getting a few more thousand people down there now just to get behind to the team at the moment. So, but yeah, it was lovely. And, yeah, really good memories.
No, like you say, it would make such a difference to get the backing from more fans. And as a player, did you feel, oh, I could get some goals on this pitch?
Yeah, you did, yeah. The thing is, when you play as a forward and you've got good lads around you, you always think you're going to get one, even if you're on a little bit of a barren spell. You just keep thinking, if I keep getting in these spots, keep making the runs, sooner or later it'll go your way and you'll get one. So, yeah, as a forward, I always thought I'd score.
And as you say, this time of year must bring back such happy memories as well, as you say, about getting to Wembley and the playoff finals and the trophy as well.
Yeah, yeah. It's the big games, and that's what it's all about. And luckily enough, Wicker are in the top three, and you know it's nice to be in that position. Like I say, you got semi-finals, you have finals to look forward to, big games, and that's what the players are interested in. It's lovely to have something on the end of it, rather than at the end of the season thinking, oh, we're playing out the last seven games and there's nothing really to play for. It's nice to think, oh, we got a Wembley on the end of it, we got a league championship on the end of it, we got a playoffs on the end of it, and it just keeps you motivated. It's like a great feeling.
But I guess as well, conversely, as you touched on earlier, that there's extra pressure on the players to perform in this sort of run-in period.
Yeah, I think you do get that. But I think, you know, the players, a lot of them have got a real good experience and they're good lads. And I played with some really good lads. And over the years, when you get to 27, 28, all of a sudden the experience is there. And, you know, you have to rely on your teammates help you out, and you have to help them out, and at the end of the day it's a team game. And obviously I scored a lot of goals, but I needed the lads to supply me, and because most of my goals were from about 5 yards, so yeah, I didn't really score many individual goals like some of the players. So my game was about making little runs in the box, in the 6 yard box, and just feeding off little tap-ins.
And it feels like as well, especially April with Easter, you've got the game on Good Friday and Monday, and now with this Huddersfield game rearranged for Tuesday, it feels such a sort of congested fixture schedule coming up.
Yeah, I think we've all been there. In the day, we'd play two or three games a week. You could be up Manchester one day, down Cornwall another day, you know, and it's just what you have to do. But as a player, you want to play games. I'd rather be playing games than training. So, yeah, it's still nice. I know people say you get tired, but I think you get through on the buzz, and the adrenaline starts. And once you're out there, I don't think you feel the tiredness. People might say, oh, he looks a little bit jaded. But when you're a player, I don't think you actually feel it. I think you just keep getting on with it.
And also, it's incredible to see how far the club has come. You know, as you touched on, that's so close to being in the Championship after, you know, I remember, you know, when I was at school going to see, you know, we can play in teams like Kettering and Fisher Athletic, and you know, sort of look at them now.
Yeah, they've done absolutely brilliant to get to where they are over the years. And that's just a great thing for the club. They just keep moving on and getting better. And like I say, to get into the Champions would be another great achievement for the club.
But I guess as well, it comes with that is sort of increased expectation as well. And I guess in teams that you sort of played in as well, you know, fans would kind of be expecting you to get promotion each season after doing it.
Yeah, I think that's what happens to start with. Obviously, we won the conference, and then Martin got the team promoted straight into Division 2 in the playoffs. And then all of a sudden, people start thinking, oh, you're going to get into the Championship and stuff. And even now, we're like, they had a little go at it a couple of years ago in the Championship. A bit unlucky because COVID was there. So the supporters didn't actually get to see that. So what would be lovely for the supporters if they can get there again and, you know, you can go and see the big teams again down Adams Park and start getting crowds of 6,000 and 7,000 every week, which would be, like I say, a great achievement.
No, as you say, like when Wrexham came, when Villa came in the cup as well, it just shows that, you know, it'd be brilliant to fill the stadium out more often.
Yeah, the crowds are there. The people are there. And if you put on good performances and you keep doing well, you start getting the people, and all of a sudden you get a new batch of crowd going down there. And that's what we need. We need more people to get down there.
And I guess as well, especially nice for you to follow, you know, the likes of Richard Coney and previous strikers as well who've gone before him and who've got goals, and it must really make you sort of reflect on the huge amount of goals that you scored as well.
Yeah, when you see him, you think, a bit jealous really, because you would like to be the one out there now. But, you know, your day comes and in the end someone else will replace them. But while you're there doing it, it's not a greater feeling in the world of scoring a goal. And any forward will tell you, when you're out there and you're the one getting the praise and scoring the goals, you know, that's what you play for. And yeah, sometimes you miss them and you're going to get the other side of it as well. But while you're scoring, like I say, there's not a better feeling.
And are there any that really stand out for you? Obviously, you scored so many, but there must be some really great ones that stick in your mind.
Yeah, well, scoring the winning goal in the trophy final was one of my, you know, best goals. And yeah, when you score, I scored four goals in a couple of games against Kettering and Sutton and stuff like that all those years ago. Yeah, there's a one against Altrincham when I scored a nice little goal. So yeah, there's a few, but you can't remember them all.
And I guess you get to this part of the season, and it does make you sort of reflect, doesn't it, whether what you term a successful season for the club. But Wickham have done so well to get, you know, to been in the top two for so long, and to be on that unbeaten run under Matt Bloomfield and what he achieved as well.
Yeah, you just got to hope they've been there for so long that the results go their way, because obviously sometimes, like the other, like last night, Wrexham done us a favour as well by not winning. So, you know, but it's best if you can do the job yourself and win your own games. Because if you win your own games, you don't have to worry what the other teams are doing. And I know they've got a tough run, but like I say, when you're playing the better teams, sometimes it's easier because you can raise your game yourself. And like I say, they leave themselves open. So coming to this time of the season, it's a great time as a footballer.
Well, it's been fantastic to catch up with you again. Thank you so much indeed for your time.
Nice one. Thank you very much.
Pleasure chatting to Wigan legend Mark West and getting his insight as well and reflections on Richard Coney, who's once again been shortlisted for the PFA League One Fans Player of the Month after scoring two and providing two assists in his five appearances in March. He's also been named the League One Player of the Year by readers of 442 magazine, coming 24th overall in their review of the best 50 EFL players this season. Congratulations to him. More from Wigan Wanderers Ex-Players Association on next week's show.
Across High Wycombe and South Buckinghamshire, and on your smart speaker.
Play Wickham Sound.
This is Wickham Sound.
In the future, you'll be able to watch TV on your microwave, 3D print yourself a personal butler.
You rang, Mom?
And get fit by just looking at a treadmill. Okay, maybe not that. But wherever the technology does go, radio will go there too. Because Radio Player is working with the world's leading car and tech companies to keep radio out in front. Radio Player. In the car, in the home, in the future. Find out more at radioplayer.org.
I'm Martin Clark.
And I'm Heather Harrison.
Join us between 10 and 12 noon every Sunday for Classics Count.
We'll be playing music you know, music you like, and music you'd love to hear again.
And we'll be telling you about composers, orchestras and instruments, and stories behind pieces of music.
We'll also be talking to musicians in the studio about upcoming local classical concerts.
So listen in Classics Count 10 till 12 on Sundays.
And on Listen Again.
Here on Wickham Sound.
The Wickham Wanderers Show, Thursdays from 7.
106.6 FM. Final part of this week's Wickham Wanderers Show. Still to come, we'll speak to men's head coach Mike Dodds ahead of Saturday's trip to Reading. It's a 12:30 kickoff. And then on Sunday, Wickham Wanderers women are at home at Burnham at the 1888 Stadium. 1888 Stadium, I've gained 10 years on it, for their final home league game of the season. In a few moments' time, we'll catch up with the league's leading scorer, Kayla Potter, but let's turn our attention to the other end of the pitch and goalkeeper Amber Taylor. First of all, reflecting on the first ever league game for Wycombe Wanderers women, played at Adams Park.
Yeah, it was a really good day, even like start to finish from when we got there all the way until we left that evening. It was a really good experience and we were treated really professionally, which was really nice for us. And all the fans were amazing. We could hear them the whole game. I think that was motivating us to keep pushing and go for all those goals that we got.
Did it feel very different? Because I imagine as well, when you're preparing for a game or you're kind of in the zone and perhaps don't even notice your kind of surroundings as much, but it must feel very different to be coming out at a bigger ground like that.
Yeah, well, we tried to keep it as normal as possible, just carry on what we do on every match day. But obviously, when you come out of that tunnel and you see that huge stadium and all those fans, it's completely different. And yeah, like I said, it helped motivate us at the same time. I think most of us managed to kind of block it all out and just play our game and get those 3 points, because at the end of the day, that's what we wanted and we got it.
But it just felt like such a great advert for the team as well, and obviously you did yourselves proud with the performance, and as you say, there was such great backing for the side as well.
Yeah, we not only scored plenty of goals, I think we put on a really good advert for us and women's football as well, and I really hope that has sort of boosted people's chances of coming to see us, not only at Adams Park but also at Burnham.
And were you pleased with your own game personally as well?
Yeah, I was fuming about the goal, but at the end of the day it's about the 3 points, not about my individual performance. But I was quite happy with the saves I made towards the end, considering I don't think I used my hands for about 85 minutes, and sort of last 6 minutes I ended up having to make 3 or 4 saves and yeah, try and keep that clean sheet, but I didn't. But at the end of the day, like I said, it's all about the 3 points.
Is that one of the things about being a goalkeeper? Because you imagine, don't you, that you're always making saves, always on the... But, you know, for large periods of the game, you weren't really kind of troubled.
No, I don't think they had a shot, really, other than the only things I really had to do was the back passes and sort of keep the ball for us. But that's, as a goalkeeper, something that not I'm used to, but something that I've got to be prepared for quite often. So I just made sure I stay switch on and keep communicating.
And I should ask as well about the temperature.
Oh my, it was so cold. I was so cold. That's why I had to keep jogging up and down the pitch, trying to stay warm. It was freezing. I wish it was like it was a sunny day today. That would have been much nicer.
No, I think that was quite noticeable. I think there was literally points where you know, like you could say, you were literally running up and down to keep warm.
Yeah, and I'm quite a cold person as it is, so I was not happy, but... Yeah, I think best thing to do is stay warm and keep those muscles warm, because I didn't want to injure myself either.
No, exactly. And also a great win on Sunday, of course. I guess disappointing to concede a goal, especially to go behind first as well, but great how you responded.
Yeah, obviously going behind first is always tough because you've got a bigger ladder to climb, but I think we responded really well, like instantly. No one's heads dropped and we said, right, we need to switch on now and make this better, and that's what we did. And not only did we keep scoring, we played really, really well. We played some really nice football.
And as well, I remember when we spoke to you earlier in the season, but there feels like a real togetherness in the team. They did then as well, but that's something that you've maintained throughout this campaign, really.
Yeah, I think it's just got stronger and stronger. And now we've got a very consistent lineup. We're starting to gel really well on the pitch and off the pitch. And everything at the moment is just so positive and we need to stay like that.
And all the players seem so focused, and you know, whether they're starting or whether they're sort of finishing games or even on the periphery of the squad or in the development side even, you know, that there's such kind of focus for the entire group to do so well.
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's not just about the 11 that start, it's about the people that come on or even just come and support if they don't play. Like, we're a whole team at the end of the day and it all helps.
No, absolutely. Do you have yourself, both personally and I guess collectively, kind of short-term goals for the remainder of the season? I know the manager said after the Reading game that he was targeting 100 goals and 44 points.
Yeah, well, that is the main target, is most amount of points we can possibly get and 100 goals, which I definitely think we can do. My personal target is obviously to keep as many clean sheets as possible, and I personally want another assist as well.
Absolutely, I'm sure that's doable. And do you kind of look at Ascot and, you know, hope that they drop points, or is it just a case of focusing on your own game and just, you know, finishing the season as best as possible?
Yeah, we can't control what happens with our score. So at the end of the day, we're going to control what we can do, and that's by getting as many points as possible and as many goals as possible until the end of the season, and also prep ourselves ready for next season.
No, absolutely. And how do you feel that the season's gone personally as well? Because it doesn't feel that long ago that you were just starting out. I remember meeting at the media day before the season, and you were quite sort of new. But now it feels like you're really established in the team.
Yeah, it's flown by, to be honest. But it's been a really good season. Obviously, it's had its downs, but it's had more ups than downs. And we can use this season as a sort of reflection and think, right, we need to do much better next season and make sure the things that happened that were negative to not happen again.
But there must be such a real source of pride both for yourself in your contribution, but also throughout the team in the great progress that the side has made compared to last season.
Oh yeah, I think obviously I wasn't here last season, so I was just doing the best I can, and obviously that's obviously helped, and we're doing much better than I think they did last season. I think we kept more clean sheets before December than they did the whole of last season, so yeah, I think just performing well is really helping.
And have been such a free-scoring side, and also not conceding that many either, which obviously is key to the success as well.
Yeah, 100%. Obviously, scoring as many goals as we are is really, really good. And obviously, I hate conceding regardless. So, Sorry, I started. I'm standing outside. My cat jumped really high, and it made me laugh.
What's your cat's name?
His name's Wayne.
Wayne?
Yeah.
Oh, what an excellent cat name.
Yeah, he's named after Wayne Gretzky, the ice hockey player in Wayne's World, that film.
Oh, of course. as he should be.
Yeah, why not?
And has it been really nice for you as well to have that kind of balance of obviously, your football, but also kind of your day-to-day work and kind of your downtime as well?
Yeah, I'm always working hard with football, and if I'm not playing during sort of pre-season, then I'll make sure I'm getting some sort of fitness in or one-to-one session so I can stay sharp. And then when I'm not playing on Saturdays or Sundays, I like going to heavy metal gigs and that sort of thing.
And that must be quite a surprise, because I think people, when they see you, they especially in the goalkeeping kit that you wear, they don't necessarily associate you with that style of music.
No, and the girls hate it too, because if I put one of my songs on, they're like, what on earth is it? It's much too heavy for them. So I love it. It gets me motivated as well. But it's something that I've grown up with too.
So give us an example of one of the songs that you might put on that they perhaps don't enjoy so much.
I think we quite often have Smells Like Teen Spirit by Nirvana, which is quite heavy. But I can go heavier, but obviously I don't stick them on.
don't want to put them through that.
No.
But overall, I guess you'll kind of look back and think this has been a really successful season and one that you've really enjoyed personally as well.
Yeah, I've really enjoyed it, and I'm starting to feel much more confident than I have in any other season, because I'm able to play the way I want, and Carl's been really supportive of me too, which is really nice.
So coming up, your next action on Sunday, and a great incentive for the fans to come, as it's your last home game and a great opportunity for them to come and see you.
Yeah, so Sunday's our last home league game, and then we're away to Oxford City. I think in a couple of weeks, and that'll be our last game of the season.
And it's free as well, of course.
Yeah, and that always helps.
No excuse not to come.
No, definitely not, and hopefully the sun will be shining.
No, that'd be brilliant. Thank you so much for your time. Really great to chat to you.
Thank you.
Fantastic chatting to you, Amber Taylor, and Wayne, her cat. Last time Kayla Potter was on the show was in October as a new signing, but look what's happened since.
It feels like absolutely ages ago when we last talked. But no, the season's turned out really well. Really happy with what's come with the team. Obviously, we were aiming for that promotional spot, and fingers crossed that something happens, with holidays or injuries with the other team. But we're quite happy with how so far the season's all come together.
Because speaking to the manager before the start of the season, he was keen to bring in that kind of attacking and creativity element, and you and the other forward players have certainly brought that.
Yes, and I was kind of a surprise one, because his main interest was in Puds, or Dan, as she also known. And she was the one who was like, well, I've got this striker. Is she all right to come with? And he was like, well, sure, if that means you're going to come, then definitely. So he didn't really know much about me, and I think he might be happy that he made that call.
No, absolutely. And really nice for you as well, because I guess, you know, as you say, for the two of you to come together as well, and you've both had such a great impact.
We have, yeah. We work really well together. So that was a nice bonus. Also, just have a familiar face for each of us arriving there. I believe Puds knows Bobby from the past, but besides Dan, there's nobody else that I knew. So that was really nice to have that familiarity with me.
And has it been nice how easily you have settled in?
Oh, now it's fantastic. I mean, we were just chatting in the girls' group chat going, so are we going for dog walks Saturday and the week after? They're talking about Hyroxes. We've done like pickleball nights. So it's been fantastic just to come together not only as a team, but as a really nice, solid group of friends outside of football as well.
It feels so special because I don't think, I can't really sort of put your finger on what it is, but you know, you don't feel new for very long.
No, not at all. I feel like I've known some of these people for seasons. It doesn't feel like we've only just had the one kind of season together. So it's almost strange. I've never really had this before, but it's such a nice feeling.
I was going to say, how does it compare to other teams that you've played in?
Yeah, this is the first that I've been so welcomed and just slot into a position so easily. We haven't had any issues. There's been no drama. Everybody's really happy to be there. So it's so welcoming at Wickham. It's fantastic.
And when you came, did you have sort of expectations as to how you felt it might go? Did you have a feeling that you might become the league's leading scorer this season?
No, not at all. It wasn't in my plans. I was actually in a bit of a tough spot with football. I wasn't really happy with how I was playing when I was at the London Bees. And I was thinking, well, you know, maybe is this my time to completely stop it once and for all and go for a different direction? I'd recently taken up boxing and I was feeling really motivated towards that. And when things weren't going my way, that was when Puds reached out and said, well, what about this opportunity? You know, I think this could be a really good fit. And even then I was thinking, yeah, of course, I'll try it out. And I do love football, but I was on the fence of which way to go. So this has been a huge surprise and it's been wonderful.
That's really nice to know that you kind of, you know, made a really kind of positive turn, if you like, in the sort of direction that you wanted to go.
Definitely, yeah. I'm very happy with how it's all played out, obviously.
And have you had a favourite goal so far or something that's really memorable in a game?
Funny enough, the last game that we played, there was a fantastic ball from Puds. She's just got this amazing kick on her. And I happened to take a nice touch, which I could run on to. A defender cuts in front of me, and I managed to just get her on her backside and placed it wonderfully. And it wasn't a spectacular goal, but just the way it's all come together was things we've been practicing in the weeks beforehand. It was all very composed. And after completing the goal, I just thought that felt perfect. Like pieces like clicked together. So I think that was definitely a highlight. Even Matt came up to me on practice Tuesday going, I think that was your best goal of the season. So, yeah, I think it may have been one of my most recent ones.
Fantastic. And we should talk about the game at Adams Park as well, because that went so well for both you, obviously, but for the team collectively as well, and to get off to such a great start too.
It really was. It was such an experience. We had the mascots beforehand, and those guys bring a completely different vibe, whether it's at Adams Park or even just at a home game. And then just having all the fans there. You could just hear them chanting, calling people's names and the oohs and the ahs for breakaways and tackles. There's nothing like it playing in front of a group that size. Just as well, the team doing so well with the win.
And what was it like for you, obviously, playing at a bigger ground and the preparation, the lead-up to the game and obviously the experience as well?
The lead-up was great. We went to the men's game the week beforehand. We went a little early, about four or five of us, and we handed out flyers. So it was nice to be a part of that and, you know, trying to bring people in. And then all the videos going out as well on social media, those are always so fun. I've got people coming up to me, like, when I say I go to boxing, they all follow that. I'm like, oh, I've seen your goals. I've seen the lead-up. You know, we're really excited for that. And you don't always get that, especially at a smaller team. So just having our name out there and people coming up and being like, I've seen things online. We're so excited to go. It feels so surreal.
No, definitely. But as you say, so pleasing that to get the backing and the support from people. And it was just such a great atmosphere and such a great advert for the team, but also for women's football locally as well.
Oh, 100%. We had young girls coming up to us afterwards and saying, like, we want to play in a stadium like you guys. So we're not only doing it for ourselves, but for the younger ones as well, who have something to look forward to that hopefully we're creating for them to have that opportunity.
It must be so inspiring as well, because I think all youngsters want to be strikers, don't they? And they're sort of watching you, and they must sort of, you know, ask you questions or want to get tips from you as well.
They do indeed. One of the mascots at the last game, she wasn't beside me for the walkout, and so she goes to her mate, "Can we swap? I really want to be with her. You know, we've got the same number, and she's top goal scorer." And it warms my heart hearing things like that, and it makes me smile just thinking about it.
Oh, it's really nice. But in a way, do you find there's perhaps extra pressure and people expect you to score?
Definitely. I think I felt that pressure for the Reading game. I had a ton of opportunities and breakaways, and I couldn't put them in the back of the net. And I think I did. I felt that pressure of, you know, she's the top goal scorer. She's been scoring multiple games every game. This is going to be her opportunity to shine. And I didn't shine. In fact, Jess Walken, she had the hat trick and she played fantastically. And I think that pressure got to me that game.
But of course, I guess you might set yourself personal targets as well. I know Carl was saying he's aiming for 100 goals for the remainder of the season.
We are. We're close. We've got 8 goals until we hit that goal. So we're not too far off. We've got, I think, 2 games left now. It's doable.
No, absolutely. And you must be so pleased and proud with how the team has developed, and especially this season compared to last. I mean, I appreciate that you weren't part of last season, but it must be so pleasing to be part of that and that progression.
Oh, 100%. There is quite a few meetings you'll hear, like, oh, this season that, or last season this happened, and, you know, we didn't have this last season, and this last season, and to know that we're being given everything, all the support for this season, it's quite nice to hear that there's been change. I don't know how the team did last season, but obviously we're pushing as much as we can for this season.
It must be a nice feeling as well to obviously not just contribute goals, but what else you bring to the team and how much the younger players can benefit from your experience as well.
Yes, because we're pushing up a lot of the younger girls all the time. So it's nice to be able to have that experience and to help them out or answer questions and just be there for them if they need it.
And does it feel like for you the season's gone really quickly?
Incredibly quickly. I can't believe we're in April now, let alone the season. Just the time of the year is insane. There's conversations about next season happening, and it feels like I've only been here for 2 months. I don't understand how time's flown this fast.
And exciting as well, this coming weekend you've got the final league game, home game of the season, and that it's free for supporters to come along to.
It is indeed, yep. We're looking forward to that game. We've just prepped for it on Tuesday, a bit more prep on Thursday, and hoping for a nice turnout on Sunday.
It's really interesting speaking to some of the players as well, who, you know, that perhaps they don't take too much notice of who they're playing, but they just want to kind of focus on their own game. Is that something that you echo as well?
I do a bit of both. I like to prep the week beforehand, but I won't be over-analyzing our past game or specific players. I definitely am more of a in-the-moment type of player.
No, absolutely, and I guess you'll be going for, you know, the highest possible points tally for the season, and as you say, hopefully nicking that top spot from Ascot if they can slip up as well.
Yes, that is the hopes. I have faith.
But brilliant to have that kind of to play for as well.
Exactly, yeah. You still always are working towards the goal, and it's one of those, as much as we want it this season, if not, we've got a huge goal for next season then that we know is achievable. So either way, it's going to be a good outcome.
Well, we wish you all the best for the remaining games. It's been brilliant to speak to you. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much. Great to talk to you again.
Real pleasure chatting to Kayla Potter, and we wish the Chair Girls the best for the remainder of the season. More on next week's show. Let's switch our attention back to the men's team, though, and get Mike Dodd's thoughts on the remaining fixtures with Phil.
It's going to be a really important game in the kind of journey through to the end of the season. Lads have come in, you know, really fresh and bubbly and bright. I think the emotion from Tuesday night is slowly kind of seeping away, which I think's important. And our focus is obviously on Saturday against a really, really strong team at this level.
I think the stats came back from that game and then unrolled a bit as well. I think the most amount of attempts on goal by any team in League One this season. So looking to build on that against Reading.
Yeah, definitely. And listen, I could sit here and so there's 3 or 4 of the stats which our team behind the scenes have pulled together and said it was the most in League One for this, it was the most in League One for that. But look, the reality is, I'm not naive. You know, we play a Rotherham and probably weren't the best, and we played a Lincoln prior to that, which was a solid performance. I'd say it wasn't free flowing, and they've got big W's by those kind of results. Tuesday night as a draw by the result, so people won't remember the performance. They will, it's time of season where people just want results, and I'm no different to that, and the players are no different to that. And that's why I think, as after the game, I was really gutted for the players, because I couldn't criticise their effort, their endeavour. I couldn't criticise anything in terms of the way we set up and were prepared for the game. I thought they were really, really good. I think it was a really, really good performance. But ultimately, we didn't put the ball in the back of the net. And, you know, there'll be a level of criticism for that, and that's fine. I understand the industry. I understand how it works. But what we have to do is we can't dwell on it. You know, I think there was lots and lots and lots of positives from Tuesday night. And we've got to take a lot of the element of that into Saturday and also put the ball in the back of the net. So, look, we know it'll be a difficult game. But as I always say, you know, since I've come into the football club, one thing that I've not been surprised by, but one thing that it's been very, very aware of, is a lot of teams are showing us a huge amount of respect, and that's made it really difficult in the games. You know, unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, it's not little old Wickham anymore. It's a really strong Wickham team that is only going to get better with the ownership group and the infrastructure and the plans moving forward.
It's a team that's also got stuff on the line here, because they're desperately trying to get in the top six. They've got a really good shot of doing so as well. You talked about the pressure privilege thing a month ago, but they're experiencing the same, aren't they?
Yeah, definitely. We've got a number of those games coming up over this last little period, but they're the games that I want to be involved in, that we want to be involved in. So, you know, we certainly won't be running away or shirking any responsibility for that. And as I've always said, we've got to focus on us. If we do that, we've got the quality within our camp and within our dressing room to be as good as anyone on the day. So, you know, we should be going into this period fearing no one. And I've used this phrase a lot. You know, we've got to take the handbrake off a little bit in some instances. I thought we did that on Tuesday night. I thought we were really free-flowing, and I thought some of our play was outstanding. And I don't want to keep harping on about the other night, but I think we deserve so much more than what we got. Look, we'll go into these remaining fixtures not fearing anyone, regardless of what they've got to play for, what their situation is. We've got to focus on us, and we've got to be really focused on what we need to achieve in the games, which is making sure from now to the end of the season we win the remaining games.
Lots on the line for both teams. Big stadium, big crowd, short trip for Wickham fans. It should be a fantastic atmosphere, so a wonderful platform to play a game in.
Yeah, definitely, and What I want and what the team want is the Wickham fans leave the stadium and have a really enjoyable Saturday evening, knowing that we've got some really important games after Saturday, which we'll need the fans. You know, we'll need them on Saturday, we'll need them on Tuesday, we'll need them the following Saturday. This month is going to be an absolute whirlwind of a month for us in terms of the fans and the players and the staff, because we'll have some good performances, we'll have some not so good performances, we'll have momentum in games, we won't have momentum in games, and then obviously people will be keeping an eye on what's going on around us. But I look at it through the lens of it's just pure excitement, and I've got 100% belief in this group of players that we're going to be really successful.